have celiac disease. MSH deficiency is in control of all this. Finally, C3A and C4A are huge players in this diagnostic syndrome all around. Just quickly, innate immunity is found in all of us. It's the most primitive kind of a pattern detection mechanisms that there is. We're looking at defective antigen processing as a critical issue. The analogy I have to that today is that there was a wonderful banded whelk that I picked it up and it was perfect. And I showed it to my wife and I said, oh my God, it's still alive. We couldn't take it. And here was the pattern recognition system going nuts. Look at this banded whelk. What a specimen. Recognition system was there, but we couldn't act on the recognition system, and I couldn't keep it. Back into the ocean it goes. It probably is going to die. But the issue here is that genetic recognition, HLA, is intertwined with pattern receptors all the way around. You've probably heard of Th1 immunity and Th2 immunity. We used to think that that was pro-inflammatory and anti-inflammatory. Well, there are interleukin-17 secreting cells that are part of Th17 immunity. And I have a feeling we'll probably find a few more. But specifically, C3A and C4A and phagocytosis are all elements of innate immunity. It is the regulatory pathways that get disrupted in this illness. I use the analogy of pattern recognition as far as seashells. There are many other analogies that you could use. Is there a dog in the front yard? Yes. What kind of it would be an antibody response? Will the dog bite me? Is the innate immune response. Antigen recognition is accomplished by particular cells, antigen-presenting cells or professional cells, dendrite cells. And I talk about not genomics here and proteomics or metabolomics. These are the somomics. And here you have phagosomes and endosomes and lysosomes all inside the dendrite cells, and the acidification of those somes is necessary for those antigen proper detection mechanisms to proceed to an antibody formation, and those can be blocked by toxins. We're not going to talk too much about interleukin-10, but interleukin-10 remains a compound you can now measure easily. In the face of these patients, it is not just immune suppressive as its anti-inflammatory aspect, it's actually immune paralytic. Toll receptors is a classic example. Within the last 10 years, we first identified there were toll receptors. That's the German word for eureka, by the way. And now we know there's at least 15 different kinds of toll receptors. Some are intracellular, some are extracellular. Just to add a little more recognition, if my recognition of the whelk is a toll receptor, my recognition of apomurex would be a lectin receptor, and my recognition of an alphabet cone might be a dectin receptor. There are men-oscillated glycoproteins that turn on antigen detection mechanisms, and they're all around you. You don't have to know what they are today, just know that they are there. But the real issue in this situation is, why should you care? Excuse me. I think the answer is because you want to help people. We don't end our medical education. Look at you here. This is a nice day. You're inside. You should be out on the beach, right? Specifically, if we look at complement, not to bore you with details on this, here is the classical pathway, and then here is the alternative pathway. Right in the middle is the mannose binding lectin pathway, where an enzyme called MASP2 auto-activates once it's turned on by N-acetylglucosamine and a variety of glycoproteins, and it continues to produce C4A. C4A does not last very long in the blood. It is hugely important in what happens with inflammation. It increases smooth muscle spasm, particularly before capillary beds begin, so capillary hyperperfusion and C4A go hand in hand. But it is turned on even if you're removed from exposure. That auto-activating enzyme aspect of MASP2 is incredibly rare. Some authors say it's the only one in the body. But once MASP2 is turned on and you're in a moldy environment, you won't get better just by being removed. And that's a real tip-off. Did your fibromyalgia get better when you left the hurricane-damaged area?